Welcome back to the Drain Plug Podcast. This episode is sponsored by TBNation.net. Visit TBNation.net for all of your John Boat needs. Lithium batteries, electric outboards,
hydro turf, boat toys.
Yep, electric outboards, all the things. Shallow water anchors, inflatable boats, dry hatches, et cetera, et cetera. Visit TBNation.net. We're going to try something new today. We're going to try to prank call a few of the Tiny Boat Nation members. Supposedly, this website, you get up to 3 free calls. You got a list of topics that you can pick. I just want to try this.
Okay.
Kind of see if it would work or be funny or whatever. But product spotlight-wise, just wanted to double tap on the inflatable boats, the Light Skiff Airs. We also started carrying the Lumar Axis anchors, the shallow water anchors, both electric and manual, which we should probably do a whole podcast on.
We could do one on anchors, definitely.
Because I have the manual version on my boat, and then we installed 2 electric versions on a 1754 Tracker Grizzly recently, so...
And got to play around with them. So awesome. Like, I love those things.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
So tonight you brought in a Weller treat. A whole Buffalo Trace nerds.
Man, that's so good.
It just smells like Weller to me. It's just, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is Weller. 12-year Weller.
Don't tell me how much this bottle costs until after I drink it, because I don't want to have something in my head before, because I don't go searching for this stuff like you do.
Oh, yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Yo, dog, I'm calling about the note. The note you left on my car. Well, somebody hit my car and left a note with this number on.
Well, they gave you the wrong number, buddy.
Are you calling me a liar?
Yep, sure am.
Listen, dog, I just got out of prison a couple weeks ago. Don't make me confine you.
Yeah, me too. Come on.
Who's your insurance company?
No, it ain't my fucking insurance.
You better give me my money for messing up my caddy.
Uh-huh. Here.
Don't make me send my homeboys after you.
What? Nate's going to kill us.
I could hear his... I don't know if any of y'all heard that, but his son was in the background going, I've heard this before. This is a prank call.
Was it Landon?
Yeah.
Oh, little turd.
Oh, that was funny.
All right, so our bourbon for tonight is the Weller 12. You've been talking this one up pretty big, but you're also a Buffalo Trace fanboy.
This is true.
It's just got a Buffalo Trace nose. Like, it just smells like Weller to me. It smells like a stronger flavored Weller, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's just got this very Buffalo Tracy barrel note that I pick up. Fruity vanilla something or another.
I'm getting a lot of fruit.
It's not overly complex, which is kind of a letdown for me. It's good. It's got that just it to me, all Buffalo Trace products have this barrel note to them. And I can taste it. This one definitely has that fruity something or another. But definitely some vanilla and some oak, and that's really it. It's just not overly complex, nothing fantabulous. It's not. I don't know if I would go stand in line for this bottle. And what's the proof on it?
I found this one on the shelf, which is part of the reason why I purchased it. It's 90 proof. That's the other sad thing.
Hey, it's super easy to drink. Like, this is definitely something I could introduce somebody into bourbon with. But I don't know. I've just never been a Weeder fan. It's got some sweetness.
Like it.
It's got a little bit of sweetness to it, but there's an oak note, a vanilla note, and a fruity, like a what's those little snack packs we used to eat when we were kids? Little fruit snack packs.
The fruit by the foot?
No. They had the little like animals in them or
the
whatever.
Welchers?
Yeah, like Welchers or whatever it was. It tastes like an old fruit snack packs. It's kind of that one flavor that I'm picking up to me. It's like a fake fruit note, an artificial fruit, I should say, not fake.
Nah, I'm not getting that.
It's just what I get. It's okay. Not bad.
I get a lot of goodness. I love this. This is one of my faves.
That's good.
So now I'm just missing the foolproof and the was it CY
the CYPB
CYPB yeah, CPB one of those. Whenever I got like an extra mortgage to blow, I'll get those two bottles.
So topic for tonight, we are going to cover the least talked about topic in the boating world, and that is trailers.
Which is ironic because it should probably be either the most talked about or the most important to talk about.
Yes. Honestly, out of all the boat builds we've done, I think we have spent the most time saying swear words at trailers.
Yes.
Because it's always something, and it's never anything easy. We can talk about some of the fun ones that we've had. But yeah. One of the things that I've noticed over the years of doing this is pretty much every boat that I have bought or been a part of building, the very first thing we do is rip the hubs out of the trailer and put new hubs on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cost of the bearings and individual pieces, and usually they have rusted lug nuts or something like that, or there's always something wrong with the hubs. It's almost stupid not to just spend the $50-$60 on a set of hubs and just put an entire hub assembly with new bearings in it.
But you need to watch out for that, though, too, as we found out.
Yes.
So a lot of the older trailers have a different diameter spindle on the end of them.
Yep.
And they're not easily replaceable, meaning you can't really even find the bearings for them.
Or if you can find the bearings, you can't find a hub assembly for it. Correct. That was the one that we ran into. We could find the bearings, but we couldn't find the hubs. And then I found the bearings, but I couldn't find the correct seal that I needed because it was a tapered shaft and it was two really odd sizes. It had a small outside and a bigger inside. Mm-hmm. And it was just, such a nightmare.
We've gone as far as cutting off the spindles and rewelding on new spindles.
Yes. And that's only because axles, since COVID, axles have been hard to come by.
Correct. Normally, you just go get a whole new axle assembly from... What was it? Northern Tool or something like that. Or
Tractor Supply. Either one of those carried axles.
And just bolt the whole thing back up.
Yeah.
And you're good to go. But that was not an option for that particular boat because of the time frame. But also, I don't think any of them were going to be wide enough either. You got to watch that too. Like if you got a larger boat that's on a wider trailer, you're going to need a larger axle. So.
You get lucky if you're buying a smaller boat that's on a old jet ski trailer or something like that, because most of the jet ski trailer have narrow axles, and those are a little bit easier to find because those are usually the same size as your like standard utility trailer.
Right.
It's when you get these older trailers that have these funky custom-sized axles for them. Like you can never find the right axle length or axle width or whatever you want to call it, and that's when you wind up running into trouble where you have to have something made. Or you have to go to a specialty shop, which they're not available everywhere. Like, we have one, but it's 2 hours from us.
Yeah.
And anything specialty like that, you got to bring in the old axle or at least have measurements off of it and get them the new one because they got to weld on spring perches and all that kind of stuff. Like, it is an absolute nightmare.
Aside from that, one of the easiest things and cheapest things to replace or do on a trailer would be the lights.
Yeah, I think we put lights pretty much on every single trailer that we buy now.
It's just so cheap not to.
Yeah.
You might as well just spend $30 and throw some new ones up on there.
Yeah, we find the LED light kits at Harbor Freight for $30-$35 when they're on sale. And, in all honesty, aside from busted light fixtures, usually the lights work. It's always a wiring issue.
Yeah, and most of the time it's even just that little ground that people don't know that they're supposed to do or forget to do it or just think you can put it over the paint.
Yeah, that doesn't always work.
That doesn't work.
Sometimes it will. If you got it touching the screw just right, sometimes it'll ground out, but that doesn't always work. But that's one of the things that I recommend. It's like if you get a new trailer, the first thing I would do is the bearings because you really can't go anywhere without bearings at minimum. But it's cost-wise, it makes sense to replace the hubs. The electrical stuff, I just rip everything out and start over.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point where it's almost like, why would you not? You can start fresh, all new wiring, new submersible trailer lights, and you don't have to worry about it.
If your trailer has good bones to it, meaning a good axle, an axle that you can replace the bearings in easily, Typically just a paint job, lights, maybe some new chains or something, or I'm sorry. Well, yeah, chains, but
yeah,
like new bunks.
Yeah, new bunks.
Paint, bunks, and what was that? Lights.
Lights.
Most of the time, if you do just those three things, it'll make a world of difference to that trailer.
One thing that I know that we've replaced a lot of, and it's a function and an annoying thing, but it's the actual hitch itself, or the hitch on that side. We get a lot of older trailers that are like 1 7/8 balls, yeah, or they're really, really rusted and the locking mechanism doesn't want to work right.
That's the worst one.
They're becoming cheap enough to where it's kind of a no brainer to just replace it with a brand new one, put some new bolts in there.
Those bolts, the bolt holes are already drilled. Yeah. Like that's the other pain in the butt is, dude, I can't tell you how many drill bits we've burnt through, like just trying to put a little hole in a trailer. It's not fun drilling through that steel.
Aluminum. Yeah. So, but the hitch thing is, most people don't take care of them, and they don't ever lubricate them, and they don't use them enough. They sit around and they rust, and then the internals just become either seized, or it gets to where when the ball is going up inside the hitch, it wants to get hung up on the locking mechanism.
Yeah,
and you can't unseize it enough to get it to where it wants to, you know, slide on there easily.
Yeah.
And you wind up having to jump up and down on the trailer to get it to seat.
Yeah.
It just becomes an annoying thing, and it makes you not want to go take your boat out anymore.
No, it definitely doesn't. Making it, hooking your boat up as easy as you possibly can to the trailer helps.
Yeah, and I've gotten a little spoiled to that now because I just rebuilt the entire trailer on my boat, and I did some, I wouldn't call it unconventional things, but I've done some stuff to it that most boaters would never do.
Yeah.
But it has made my trailering life like a breeze.
Yeah.
The first thing I'll tell you about, which we'll actually need to talk about anyways, is the jacks. 9 times out of 10, we always wind up replacing the jacks. Mm-hmm. It's either they buy the cheap ones from Harbor Freight or Northern Tool or off Amazon or whatever, and the wheel never wants to spin.
The wheel never rolls.
So you wind up like trying to get it through your backyard, and you get halfway in one direction, and you got to stop and kick the wheel back the other direction.
Dude, that's the most annoying
thing ever. Oh, God, it sucks. So
I always have to do it in flip-flops, too.
Yep. If you're going to replace it with another hand crank-style winch, 9 times out of 10, the ones that have dual wheels are generally better.
Yeah.
We see a lot less quality issues with those. They are a little more expensive, but if you can get a good deal on one. But the main thing is the maintenance on it. You just need to grease it or spray some white lithium grease or something up inside of it and on the axle for the wheels.
Yeah.
Any chance you get. Now, one thing that we didn't know until I think the last trailer that we did is you can buy replacement wheels for those. You don't have to buy the entire jack just to get the wheels. We found them on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I found one at Harbor Freight. And that made a world of difference just having a new wheel on there because the old one had a flat spot on it from where it wouldn't turn and somebody drug it across concrete. Now, on my boat, I did something that I don't think I've ever seen a boat trailer with one, but I have an electric jack on mine.
You went next level.
I did go next level. And I tell you what, it was worth every penny. I didn't go crazy. I didn't buy one of the like super name brand ones. I bought one from Harbor Freight. It was on sale for like $140. That's the only reason I bought it.
Yeah.
Now, I did have to fabricate a custom bracket to weld on the side of my trailer tongue in order to get it to work.
Yeah.
And I had to go from a 4-pin plug on the trailer to a 7-pin so that I could have the power coming from the truck.
Yeah.
If not, I was going to have to do a battery setup, which I considered, but I didn't have to worry about solar charging a battery or plugging a battery in or having to worry about tap into the truck to charge the battery. Yeah. It was just easier to run it straight to the truck and put it on a switch. And now I know I've always got power. But I tell you what, dude, all I got to do is back my truck up, push the button, and it lowers it right on there.
It's pretty nice.
It is so nice. The other thing is like...
But you need a lot of room on the tongue to make that work.
You do. It takes up some space, and it's not fold. It doesn't fold, so it stays where it's at. It's always there, which hasn't been a big deal on my trailer because I did extend the tongue. But one thing I will say about it is if I could go back and do it again, I would have made my wiring harness that plugs into the truck just maybe 6 inches longer because when I made it just long enough to plug into my truck and have enough slack to move when the trailer swings side to side.
Yeah.
So I've only got like maybe 5 or 6 inches of room for the wiring to work. So I have to back my truck up and I have to get it really close to the trailer, where it needs to go down on the ball in order to plug it up and actually use the jack. That'd be my only caution.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so if I would have put another... And the reason that I didn't make it any longer is because I didn't want it hanging down and wind up hitting on the road.
Yeah.
Or if somebody borrows it and they forget to, loop it up or tie it off or something. I didn't want to have all that extra slack hanging all over the place.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, now that I think about it, that's almost like an anti-theft for your boat trailer, too.
Technically, yeah, unless they wanted to rip that thing off the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, they really can't... You can't move... Which...
It would make it much more difficult to steal your boat.
And another thing I just thought of now that you brought that up, I can't let anybody borrow my trailer now. Yeah. It's pretty much tied to my truck because I wired it to the accessory pin, but on my truck I wired that accessory wire in the 7-prong plug. I wired it to a switch on my dash so I could turn it on and off so it wasn't on all the time. And I don't know if it would work. Like on the bigger trucks, the newer model trucks that are wired for a 7-pin, it may work.
Yeah.
I just have to try it out and see. But, yeah, I just thought of that. If you wanted to borrow my trailer, you wouldn't have any way of raising that thing up unless you disconnected the wires. And
oh, man.
That's something to think about. Seriously, if you decide to do an electric trailer jack like I did, which I highly recommend, it was worth every penny, maybe extending the positive and negative wires to, one of those, 2-prong plugs so that you could plug it into a battery or something and use it if you ever needed to do it on a different truck.
Yeah, something a little, mobile, I guess.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, if my truck were to ever break down with my boat on the back of it, I wouldn't be able to disconnect my truck and get you to come pick up the trailer because you wouldn't be able to lower it back down.
Yeah.
I didn't think about all this crap.
Starting to sound like there's more negatives than positives.
No, dude, it's worth every penny. I just be like, you got to tow my truck and the trailer at the same time.
Yeah, well, good luck paying that bill. That'll be a nice one.
Well, what I was going to say earlier is every time we do a boat build or we get a boat in and we have to do trailer work, I always feel like we're trying to find a spot that will fit one of those fold-up jacks on there, and it's never in an ideal place. It's either you put it somewhere where it can fold, but when you fold it down, you wind up hitting your knuckles on the boat, or you hit it on the trailer somewhere, or you have perfect placement for it, and you don't hit anything, but when you go to fold it up, it's like, well, you gotta move the trailer this way, and I gotta move this this spare tire, I gotta kick it a little bit, and it's just like always a pain in the butt.
Boat problems.
Hashtag boat problems.
Yeah.
Actually, hashtag boat trailer problems.
Yeah, a trailer can make it or break it for you, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's easy, it makes you want to go out. If it's a pain in the butt, you don't even ever want to fool with it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would love to have that electric jack on there with the wheel to get it in and out of my garage. The problem is I don't have space because I have the fold-away tongue.
Yeah.
And the only place I would be able to mount it is on the foldaway, which completely defeats the purpose of the foldaway for me.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of have to, I feel like there's a lot of trailers that an electric jack would not work on without a lot of major modification. Yeah. And mine wasn't a lot. I just had to weld on a bracket to the side of it to hold it. Yeah. And for me, it wasn't hard because I know how to weld, but if you didn't know how to weld, you would have to take it somewhere and have it done or have a friend do it, and it could potentially become a pain. Then you got to trust your friend's weld to make sure they know what the hell they're doing, that kind of stuff. So it's a great luxury item, but it comes with so many other things that you need to think about. And now that we've talked about it, I'm like, crap, I should probably go.
You need to find a second way just in case.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking is, you know, I had to my battery charger with the little 2-prong ASC or SAE connector, the little black one that just has a positive.
Oh, yeah. The one reversed. You just put in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could wire in one of those to the positive and negative of the trailer or the jack wiring.
Dude.
So just so you could plug a battery into it.
You need to hook it up to your battery in your boat and just.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. That's not a bad idea. Just have a wiring harness long enough to reach to the.
Because you could hide it in that front little spot area pretty easily.
That's not a bad idea. We're coming up with ideas. I like it.
We're about to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to. So.
But I guess my question would be, you know, what, at what point do you just buy a new trailer, right?
Yeah.
Because that's... you can get, like, we tell people straight up when they come in here, it's like, man, you're hitting that fine line of you just need to go ahead and buy a trailer because you're going to be spending just as much for us to repair all this stuff than it would be for you to just go buy a new trailer.
Yeah. It really depends. If you have a trailer that fits your boat really well, in my opinion, I would say if it's savable, save it if you're willing to put in the work.
Right.
If you got to pay somebody else to do it, you're probably going to wind up spending as much in labor and parts as it would be just to buy a new trailer.
All right, before we go any further, what's a new trailer cost?
Depends. A cheap galvanized steel trailer with no features on it at all, just your bare bones basics, going to run you anywhere between $1,500-$1,600 all the way up to $2,000 or more.
Yeah.
For a smaller, but I'm talking.
I know the aluminum ones are closer to that, like $2,600 range.
Yes, and we're talking 16, 17, 18 foot or smaller aluminum John boat.
Yeah.
You get into deep V's and mod V's that require a little bit different of a trailer setup. Anything other than flat bottom.
Yeah.
They can be a little bit more expensive.
Because you got all the rollers and stuff instead of the bunks and all that jazz.
But. And you want the boat to sit down low on the trailer. So, like, on a real deep V, you kind of want the trailer to have that middle slant to it so mm-hmm. that the boat can sit down close to the trailer instead of being, like, really high up. Now, I do see that one scenario where that comes into play is you get a really, really good deal on a boat, but they've got it on a jet ski trailer. That they tried to turn into a boat trailer.
Which happens way more often than we'd like to admit.
My trailer was originally a jet ski trailer. It was 1648 on a jet ski trailer with 8 foot long plywood.
The same trailer you got now?
Well, the only thing original on that trailer that I reused was the axle because it was in perfect shape. I just put new hubs on it. And where the spring purchase weld to. Everything else I made. So I basically just cut the back end of the trailer off. Extended it back a couple of feet, and then chopped it off right in front of where the spring perches are, and everything there forward is all brand new steel. So I basically built my trailer. All I was recycled was the axle and the mounting points for the springs.
Dude, that doesn't even count.
Yeah.
That ain't no jet ski trailer. Your trailer alone is like 26 foot long.
Yeah, well, so I love my trailer now. But I do have one major complaint about it, and it's not enough for me to want to do anything about it, but it is something that I complain about.
Right.
It takes 9 Walmart parking lots for me to turn around at low speed. I can jackknife my truck. Like, I can turn my truck 90 degrees to the trailer, and the trailer will not touch the truck because the tongue is that long.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about the boat hitting my trailer. I don't have to worry about my little steps hitting my truck. Nothing. It's got that much room. The problem is, for me to slow speed turn the truck or turn the trailer to get that would take an hour because the tongue is that long. So backing is super easy in my truck,
yeah.
But it takes 10 times more distance than it normally would. So it's a give and take. I like the way it rides. I like that I have a little bit more distance between my truck and the water when I go to put it in. Like, I can put in at shallower lakes and not have to physically get in the lake most of the time.
Right.
But I sacrificed that backing. Like, if I need to take a really tight backing maneuver, it ain't happening. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, putting my trailer in the shop here, even though we've got, you know, a parking lot that's probably 5-6 cars deep, I have to do like a 19-point Austin Powers turn to get the truck and the trailer in the shop. But I wanted it to, my thought process behind the long tongue was a lot of the places that I put in that either have basically no ramp or the ramps are super shallow.
Yeah.
So you wind up having to almost back your truck into the water to get the boat off the trailer. So I was like, well, if I have a really long tongue and I put a step up there, then hopefully I won't have to physically get in the water to get my boat off the trailer.
Right.
Which was the next mod that I did, which is I actually put a walkway from where my boat starts all the way back to the bunks. I used a 2x12 and just went straight back, and I covered it in HydroTurf, and I made a couple of brackets and bolted it to it. This came actually from me falling in the water. So I was at the lake, our local aquarium lake that we fish sometimes. I was going out to test my boat, and I was wearing Crocs. And I had to get up on the trailer and push the boat off because it was so shallow. Like, I had the back tires of my truck in the water, and my front tires were at the water. They weren't in there yet, but they were – I was pretty much
– in the water.
In the water. So when I opened up my truck door, I had to step into water to get back to my truck – or get back to the boat trailer. Mm. I was wearing Crocs. My Crocs were soaking wet. They're old as crap, so they're slick on the bottom. And I was doing one of these, like, tiptoe walks down the center beam of the trailer trying to get my boat pushed off the trailer. And I was almost to the bunks where I could hop off of the trailer and up onto the bunks and walk the boat the rest of the way down.
Yeah.
And one of my Crocs slipped, and I busted the crap out of my ankle. Mm. Dude, it hurt so bad.
At least you didn't skim up your shin.
No, it was the side of my ankle, and I mean, it did it abraded the skin, I guess could say. But I mean, dude, that on that steel, it hurt so bad. After that, I was like, screw this. I'm putting a walkway up here so that I can get onto this trailer and walk my boat completely off the trailer and never have to worry about falling in. That sucks.
It looks great, though, by the way. And I think it's very functional, especially for your boat.
Yeah. I tell you the other mod that I really love, and it depends on your style of fishing if you really need this or not. But it definitely was a game changer, and that was putting reverse lights on the trailer. Now, on your boat, we actually put your reverse lights on your boat.
Yes.
So that you could use them the same way that I'm using them.
Correct.
Could I go back and do it now? I would probably do that instead of putting them on my trailer. But because I got the pods, I didn't want to have to cut holes in the pods and mount lights in there and all that crap. But I like yours because it's dual purpose. You can still use it on the water. Like, if you ever needed to back up at night...
Yep.
You have that option to flip those lights on, and you got reverse lights.
But here's another one of those give and takes. When you're backing down the ramp, you don't have to go put your truck in park, get out, go hit the switch inside your boat. So I have to do that before I go down. And I can only do that after I've already turned and started coming down the boat ramp, or else I'm going to blind everybody behind me.
Man, I don't care about nobody else. I just want to be able to see what
you know. What you're right. Screw them all. I'm just going to start doing it. But
now I will tell you one thing I do like about my truck having the reverse lights on the trailer is when you get the back of the trailer into the water, it lights up the water all the way around the truck or all the way around the trailer.
See, you know, that's why you need some good old Gator back. With the flashlights.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Those are my favorite mods.
I wish I would have done that instead of the... But I already had the hydro-turf. I did hydro-turf bumps turf on mine. Yeah.
Which is still really nice.
Yeah, they work good.
And since your lights are on the trailer, I guess you really don't need the Gator backs.
No, but they're so cool looking.
But, man, those things are slick. Literally slick. Like, they will help your boat get up on the trailer better.
Yeah.
I don't have to put my trailer anywhere near as deep in the water as anybody else. Like, I would say I'm almost half the distance in the water compared to most people.
Yeah.
And I'm running a small electric outboard, and that electric outboard will push the boat up onto the trailer completely.
Now, do you have any issues with the boat wanting to slide on the trailer?
No.
I mean, has it got enough grip on it to where it'll hold it?
Oh, no, I'm too scared to try that.
Oh, so you don't even unhook it until you get into the water?
Yeah, I wait till the transom is, like, at the water.
Okay, and then you unhook it?
And then I unhook the front. Now, the back will already be undone. The back I don't care about.
Yeah.
But I wait until we get to the boat or to the lake, like the parking lot or something, you know?
Yeah.
Undo the back. Transom saver, stuff like that. And then I wait to unhook the front until the boat is near the water.
I've never had mine slide off, but I know if I unhook mine, I can very easily push my boat off the trailer if I wanted to.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, shout out to Jeff Reese, because him bringing his boat in here for us tried to fix that where his boat fell off the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And damaged his drain port.
Yeah.
Dude, that alone has made me not forget the front latch on the winch,
and
to keep that on until I get down to the water.
It's even more important if you got slick bottom coating like we got. Like, you got the Fasco.
I got the Fasco and the Gator back. So
how's that Fasco Super Slick holding up, by the way?
I mean,
have you crawled up under there to look at it?
No.
No.
No, I ain't crawling nowhere.
I do, dude. I have skipped over so many rocks in my boat. Almost every single time I pull it out of the water, I'm up underneath the boat with a flashlight going, oh, that's a new scar.
Yours is a little bit of a different situation. I'm sure mine definitely has, it's going to have some marks because I know I beached it one day. Like coming, there was no boat dock for me to park at to go get the truck. So I drove it up on the bank, but there were for sure some rocks down there.
Yeah.
And it was dark out and everyone else was kind of everywhere. And I'm like, you know what? My boat's like four-wheel drive, you know? Pulled it up on there, stopped, threw the anchor down. And I know I hit a few rocks there, but I'm sure it's good. We'll probably...
At some point, we need to get up underneath there and look at it. Yeah. I'm very curious because we have not had a lot of long-term experience with the Fasco Super Slick. Yeah. I'm just curious how well it's holding up.
It's officially been a year.
It has.
So,
but, I mean, have you really... I have abused the hell out of my boat. Like, I'm surprised my boat hasn't fallen apart at this point.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I probably don't take the best care of my boat. But part of that is intentionally, right? Not like well, okay, that kind of came out wrong.
Holds up.
I feel like in my mind I'm trying to test the durability of some of certain things.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there's been a couple times this summer where I've left my boat out in the driveway for like a week.
Yeah.
Just to see what happens to this turf. Does it age worse? Does it get bad?
Does it get soft? Does the adhesive come up?
Adam Ryan did that video, and he rubbed his hand on the... I think he had OrthoDeck, though, but rubbed his hand on it, and there's freaking powder all over his hand.
Yeah.
Mine definitely does not do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like to, in some way, shape, or form, I guess, kind of, like, test those things out just to see, you know, how durable or how well it holds up just... Even from neglect, because it's going to happen from some people from time to time, right? Like, I don't know. It just happens. So, I just want to, I'd kind of like try those theories out every once in a while and just maybe I can, you know, get away with a week here of just leaving it out and see what happens.
Oh, mine sat outside for 2 years full of leaves and.
Which is pretty incredible because yours still looks really freaking good.
And that's why I did it intentionally. Like, I've never garage kept that boat ever because I wanted to see how things hold up. And the way that we do things, I want to make sure that when we tell people, hey, you know, if you buy HydroTurf for your boat, this is how long you can expect it to last because I've had it out in the sun for 2 years and I know exactly what it'll do.
Yeah. But, I mean, I try to keep it in the garage, but...
Back to the reverse light thing. If you're a person that you know is never going to be in a situation where you would need lighting on your trailer or on your boat, then it's really not worth it because it is an extra expense. It's more wiring, whether you do it in your boat or on your trailer. Yeah. But if you're a weekend fisherman, you know you're only going to go on Saturday during the middle of the day, it's not something I would really worry about.
No, if you're not even putting navigation lights on your boat, don't even worry about lights on your trailer.
Yeah, you don't need it because... You need it because normally during your tournaments, you're putting in the dark.
Pitch dark,
early morning time. Yeah. I needed it because I like to fish at night. And generally, I'm loading the boat at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Most of the boat ramps don't have any lights where I'm at, so that's my only light source. And I love the Gator. Man, I can't recommend those Gatorback bunks enough with the flashlights in them. They're awesome. Not only do they look cool, they're super functional, and they help you guide you up onto your trailer and you can see really well. But, man, they got a cool factor. They just look super cool.
They look really good. Super bright, too. But scale of 1 to 10. What are you giving it?
I'm going to give it a 6.5. Because, one, it's not very complex. It's not bad. Like, I'm not saying that this is a bad bourbon. Like, I like it. I would drink it if I was at somebody's house and they offered it to me. I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. But this is not something that I'm going to go stand in line for. It's not something I'm going to pay the price for. I don't even know what you paid for it, but I'm sure it was way more.
Let's say you found it on the shelf for $59.
No.
What? Are you crazy?
No, I wouldn't buy it.
$59, you wouldn't buy that?
It's not my preferred flavor profile. Like, for $59, I can go buy a rare breed that's way more complex and fits my flavor profile that I like, and I would just be happy with that. But it's also 116 proof versus 90. I don't dislike Buffalo Trace products by any means.
That sounds exactly like you dislike Buffalo Trace. I'm just kidding.
I'm not a Buffalo Trace hater.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, realistically, it's not a whole lot different from their special reserve. I like it better than the special reserve.
Had the special reserve. I think it's much better than the special reserve.
Yeah.
It has a stronger flavor, but so with weeded bourbons, they're always just softer to me. They're not as in your face, really punchy. There's no spicy notes. There's no really heavy notes to them.
Yeah.
But I don't get the same barrel charred oak note that I get from bourbons that have a lot of rye in them.
That's not something
everybody likes.
We are literally the complete opposite.
Yes.
But it's fine.
But I have other weeded bourbons that I've bought that I wasn't a huge fan of that are very popular.
What's an example?
All the Maker's Marks. Like, everybody loves Maker's Mark, but they're a weeded bourbon, and I've never just been super crazy about their flavor profile. I have the Blade & Bow, which is another weeded bourbon that's made by, is it Weller Schitzel? Weller Schitzel? Not this Weller, the other.
Sazerac?
No. It's an older distillery, but it's a weeded bourbon. It's not my favorite, but it's still good. Like, I would still drink it, and I'd pull it out every now and then and try it. I've got a couple of weeded ASWs, and I'm an ASW fan all day long. They make some great stuff, but their regular weeded bourbon is just kind of like meh.
Me.
It's meh.
I don't know.
But for 12 years. You know what I think part of it is? I think part of it's the proof, too. It's a very low proof for something that's 12 years old.
Yeah, it could probably have a little more kick. But you know what's weird, though? Like, that Antique 107 to me doesn't taste much stronger than that.
I don't think I've had 107.
It's spicy.
Is it a weeder?
I believe so. Hmm. I mean, it's a Weller.
Are they all? Every single thing they make is wheat?
I'm pretty sure.
It's not bad. I mean, and I know people go buku crazy over the Weller stuff. It's not my thing.
Well, either way, it was cool to taste.
Thank you for bringing it in. It was really interesting. I feel like if it was in the 100 to 110 range, this would be amazing.
I'm going to be honest. I keep hearing people say, I think that's just the sweet spot. That 100 to 110 range is like, it's kind of what the general public or people tend to gravitate towards. Yeah. You know?
And I feel like there's some stuff out there that's super high proof that has amazing flavor profile and it's super complex.
Stag Jr.
Yeah, Stag Jr., you gave me some to try. Man. That was an amazing bourbon.
That's a great one.
My problem with it was too hot for me to enjoy. And I didn't want to ice it down because I didn't want to risk losing any of the flavors that it had. Mm-hmm. It had great flavors.
I always put one ice cube in with it. And I eat cheesecake with it.
The cheesecake I have not tried. You told me about that before.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's like, I don't know how I figured it out. No one else has ever said nothing, but cheesecake and bourbon is like a great combination.
I mean, I guess.
I'm serious. Just try it one day. And don't get no crazy flavored cheesecake. Just get the regular plain Jane cheesecake.
I understand the pairing, though, because, like, back when I was a smoker, my favorite thing in the whole world was Camels and chocolate ice cream.
Camels?
Yep.
You ate Camels?
Smoked Camels.
Oh.
Not like I didn't eat the camel. Cigarettes.
Gotcha. I don't smoke, so.
But that was, like, my favorite pairing. Like, it did something to the cigarette that made it taste better.
All right, what was the pairing? The Camel and the what?
Chocolate ice cream.
Chocolate ice cream. Oh, okay.
It was just something about that flavor combo was just, well, it just hit the spot for me.
Dude, like, I think I've finally gotten to where I understand the cigar and the bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
I just don't ever have time. I got a ton of cigars. Yeah. I just don't ever have time.
I don't have any cigars. But the one time that I did, I was like, oh, man. Okay, now I understand that.
You know, you think bourbon is crazy? The cigar world is 10 times worse than bourbon.
I can't afford that hobby.
No.
I can't even afford this hobby.
When I was big into cigars, when I was in my, like, mid to late 20s, I got huge into craft cigars and, like, small batch cigars and stuff like that. Dude, So waiting in line for the releases for those and like trying to get a box of some of the stuff, it was crazy. But
oh man,
like if you think that people waiting on the Weller release every year or the Buffalo Trace release every year is crazy, man, the cigar world's like a whole nother world.
Well, anything else about trailers?
The only other thing that I was
get you some good wheels.
Yeah, wheels are duh, and a spare.
A spare would be really cool.
Really cool. The only other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking about bunks earlier is the type of wood and the carpet. That's really cool. You're killing me.
I hate that joke so much. It's so funny.
I get a lot of people that think that you need to use pressure-treated wood on bunks.
Yeah.
And you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But why would you spend the extra money when regular old wood...
You're going to be replacing them anyways.
Yeah, at some point you're going to be replacing them.
Like, I've gotten to where we don't even seal them. Like, they just need so much upkeep anyways. You need to just pay attention to it, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like,
dude, I don't know. I've had my bunks on my trailer for over 4 years now. They're painted black. They're regular 2x6s from Home Depot. Painted them black, and I put two strips of leftover turf on top of them. And they are still holding up.
And by the time you're ready or need to replace those, you're going to be ready to replace them anyways.
Like,
you know, these things are just garbage. Like, I got my money's worth out of them.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and swap these out.
If I didn't have leftover turf, I probably never would have done the turf. But now that I've done it, I don't think I would do bunks any other way except for Gator bunks.
Yeah.
Because after a year or two of using carpet on a boat bunk, the carpet tends to flatten out. And then once it flattens out, you only get so many more slides on and off before you
wear through the carpet. So the carpet flattens out, and the carpet will hold the water on the wood longer.
Yeah.
Whereas your turf
is moldy and it stinks.
Your turf is probably not doing that, which is allowing that wood to kind of breathe or dry out a little bit better, maybe. I don't know.
And like, I put good turf in my boat, but the turf that I put on my bunks is that cheap Amazon turf.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever need to get rid of some cheap Amazon turf, that's the way to do it, is use it on your trailer bunks. Yeah. Now, with that being said, I did use contact cement on it because the adhesive that was on my Amazon turf sucked.
Trash.
It was garbage. Like, I stuck it to a piece of aluminum, took it outside for like 5 minutes, and it was already curling up on one end.
Yeah, that's no good.
So with the contact cement, it's been on there for, like I said, 4 years. I think I'm coming up close on 5 now.
Yeah.
And it looks just like it did the day I installed it.
Yeah, it does. It looks really good.
Yeah, because we had the boat off the trailer when I rebuilt my trailer not too long ago, and I got nothing negative to say about it. But if it wasn't for Gatorback, that would be my number one recommendation for bunks now. Instead of doing the carpet, is do the turf on them.
Well, guys, can leave us some suggestions of topics that you want to hear us talk about on this podcast. Another good one, I think. What did we say earlier?
Winterizing boats.
All right. Well, winterizing, but then there was something else. The anchors. We could do one on the anchors. Yeah. But also, you just got done fooling with a bunch of lights.
Oh, my God, yes.
So I think we should do like and we kind of tied it into this trailer thing as well, but maybe just boat lights next time.
Boat lights.
Anyways, if you guys have any suggestions on any topics for us to talk about, please, please, please let us know in the comment section or give us a call or whatever. Thank you to everybody that's been giving us support on this podcast and rating it a 5-star on all the podcasts platforms, as well as a like and a comment on the YouTube channel. That helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. And believe it or not, the podcast is actually doing much better than we initially expected it to. So
we definitely appreciate people listening, and we have in our podcasting program, we can go in and we can see where people are listening from. And I love going on there every week and kind of seeing where different countries that people are listening in. But all across the U.S., it's really cool. We enjoy doing this. Yeah. So
it's super fun. So we need bourbon reviews and we need topic reviews.
Yeah.
So leave your suggestions down in the comment section. If you guys have any questions, please reach out to us at tbnation.net. And what else you got? Anything? Any little last things to hit on?
No, just don't forget your drain plug.
Don't forget your drain plug. Black Friday's coming up soon. Hopefully we'll have some information on that.
Yeah, as soon as we get information on what the sales are going to be, we'll definitely put some information out about that.
But, don't forget your drain plug, and thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you all next time.
Toodles.